And when Adam walked in the garden, God walked with Adam. And you say, well, was God in visible form when he walked with Adam? No. Well, could Adam see something? I don't think he saw anything more than you and I see. There may have been a Shekinah, some glory. And remember, there was no sin in the garden. The garden was perfect. But he didn't see God. He didn't see his face. But his spirit was so developed, and his mind was undefiled, that an awareness of God was with Adam in the garden. This awareness of being with God. And when the Bible says that he came and he spoke with him in the cool of the day, we studied that and we found out that he spoke with him in the Ruach, in the Spirit. The Ruach is the breeze, the wind. He was there with him at that time. And God, again, is telling us, now this is what I want. I want to commune with you. Where does this Ark of the Covenant sit? In the Holy of Holies, right? Yeah. It's in the temple of God, in the holiest place. And at the time that he's describing this to them, the priest is only going to be able to come in there one time every year with the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. And so that doesn't seem like too good of an opportunity to really commune, does it? Once a year. But what's he describing here? He's describing something that was from the beginning and is to be restored. Communion. Fellowship. I'll bet Adam didn't know anything about Almighty God, my Heavenly Father. I come before you today with thanksgiving. I just want to come and pray to you, Almighty God, Maker of heaven and earth. I don't think he did that. I think it may have gone something more like this. Yahweh, I see all this stuff around me, but how did he get here? God said, well, I'll tell you, Adam. I looked out on the darkness one day, and I said, Or! There was light. See, God knew about calling things. And so Adam got in on that and began to understand that. But what did Adam do? He disobeyed God. He committed high treason against God and turned over the authority and dominion that God had given to him unto the enemy. He gave it over to Satan. And all of a sudden, all of that was lost. He was separated. And we said, you know, that was a terrible thing. And, you know, how could that ever come back again? And then we thought, well, it could never come back at all until Jesus. But we discovered that there were prophets that heard from God, weren't there? People that talked with God. In fact, we read about Enoch, and it says that Enoch walked with God. And I believe he walked just like Adam did. Adam probably had told Enoch, one of his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandsons, about God and what it was like at the beginning before the fall. And Enoch says, man, that's what I want. I'm going to walk with Yahweh. I'm going to walk with him. And I believe he developed himself in choices to the place where he was just aware of God all the time. And the Bible says, and Enoch was not, for God took him. Wow. Communion. I'm saying all of that just to get you back into this. Communion. Communion. What is prayer? Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is not something I have to do every day. Well, I have to pray. Well, I pray more than most people do. Fiddle. You've just shown that you don't know anything about prayer. Prayer is fellowship. It's communion. It's talking with your Father in heaven. And Jesus set it up for us so that we can understand it. He said, after this manner, Matthew 6:9, if you've all found it. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Avinu Shebashamayim. I did it right today, Tammy. Our Father in heaven. That was, by the way, that was traditional Hebrew prayer. You can find that prayer in their prayer books today. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Hallowed is your name. Yitgadal v'yitkadesh. Shamei Rabbah. Holy name. What's he doing? He's not telling us. Now everybody get together, and when you get together, be sure you always say this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But you know, many churches do that. That's just part of the liturgy. Well, there's nothing wrong with it as such, except that's not prayer. Yeshua taught us as a rabbi teaches. And he says, I'm going to teach you some demarcations. Some places you can go in your mind that'll remind you of me. Some places that you can go and get yourself started, and then my Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you and expand prayer to where it comes back to a delightful thing. I don't know how many of you know that if you talk to anybody about Shabbat that doesn't know about the Sabbath, they immediately think you're under bondage. Is that right? The Shabbat brings people under bondage as far as most people are concerned. And yet God says, my Shabbat is supposed to be what, Jeff? A blessing. In fact, he says it's supposed to be delightful. Who calls my people who call my Sabbaths a delight. A delight. Well, isn't it interesting that on Sabbath, that is a time to focus ourselves on the Father, isn't it? On God. That's what Sabbath's all about. It's a refocusing every week to refocus on Him. It's a day set apart to do it that's supposed to be like a launching pad for the week. Not a legal thing. A necessary thing, yes, but not legal. You're saved through grace. Can you keep the Sabbath? Yes. What happens if you decide not to? Will you still be saved? Yeah. There's a lot of saved people that don't keep the Sabbath. But you know what? They're missing out on a tremendous blessing. Because God said do it. Well, can you be saved and not pray? Is it possible to be saved and not pray? Well, you had to pray sometime, right? Yeah. But, I mean, do you have to be a prayer warrior? Do you have to pray? Do you have to be an intercessor to be? No. But you know what? There's so much. You know, I've always questioned how people get everything into, do I have to do this? No, you don't have to do it. You get to do it. Man, you get to pray. I mean, think of this. The Creator of the universe has granted you an audience. The King of Kings likes to see you. And you don't have to make appointments. Right? You can go whenever you want to. You can go without any agenda. You can just go to talk. You can go to ask questions. You can go to make requests. And I've been saying you go, but here's the beautiful part of it. Where do you go? Right where I am. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He abides with me forever, even unto the end of the age. And you see, this is the thing that Jesus was trying to get across to us, that prayer is to be a delight. Not some burden that I have to carry, that I have to pray. You know, there's a lot of lost people around, and it's my job to pray for them. Guess who's going to save them? God. Do you need to pray for them? Sure. But you get to. Oh, I tell you, the attitudes we develop because of religion, they're a real stumbling block to people, and they're a stumbling block to the world. No wonder a lot of people don't want to be Christians. They look at some and they say, I got enough problems already. No, thank you. I don't want to be like that. But we need to set an example. How do I show people that prayer's delightful? I don't. I just do it. And if they see me, they can tell I'm happy. They can see that I've got joy in my heart. They can see that I'm not downhearted and downtrodden. They want to ask me about it, and they say, well, how come you're always up? A girl told me one time, I worked in the post office over in Drake. I was the postmaster there, and I worked with her all summer. But I never really had a chance to talk. I say I worked with her. I worked in this little post office, and she worked and ran a store outside of it. And so I just, you know, say hi to her in the morning, and sometime during the day I might mention something to her. And, you know, occasionally there'd be a little something. But anyhow, I witnessed to her just enough that after she left there, she called me one night about 2 or 3 months later and said, "Terry, I just was wondering, do you know anything about the baptism in the Holy Spirit?" And I said, "You know what? I just happened to have some information on that." We went down and prayed with her, and she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But here's what she told me. She said, "You know, I worked with you all summer long, and I saw you, and we talked, but you never said a lot to me." But she said, "I always knew that there was something about you, because," she said, "you always seemed to be happy, and you always seemed to be up." She said, "There was something about you." Well, what is that? That's the Spirit of God on the inside. Wasn't because I got up every morning, I guarantee this now. I didn't get up every morning at 4 o'clock to pray. But did I pray? Yes. Do I pray? Yes. You may need some kind of an agenda for a while that gets you just up and gets you started, but I want to tell you what, God wants us to develop into communion. Communion. Fellowship. You know, as I'm walking down the hall, He's right there. He's accessible. Right now, while I'm talking to you, He's accessible. And occasionally you might hear me stop and talk to Him, but most of the time, you know, He's got me doing something else right now, right? That's what we're doing. So He said, pray this way. Say, talk like you're talking to Abba. Abba. Holy are you. Your name is holy. Well, did He reveal His name to us? Yeah. He said, my name is Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. By this shall I be known throughout eternity. That's my name. And my name means who was and is to come. My name means I am that I am. I was that I was. And I will be what I will be. Right? Isn't that right? Really? That word, you know, really, Esher. Eyeh Esher. That's what that means. It's an indication that He never changes. And really, the understanding of past, present, and future is for our benefit because He lives in eternity where there is none. It's always now where He lives. Can you believe that? God lives in eternity. Time is a created realm. And there will be a day coming when time will be no longer. So the Lord tells us, hallow my name, the name Yahweh. And then in the Psalm 103, read verse 1 with me. You see it on the board? Is it up there? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Me'udeka. Me'udeka. That's that word that we say in the Shema. Me'udeka. It really, you know, if you look it up, it's kind of got a lot of different meanings, but it kind of comes out, all of my muchness. Everything that pertains to me.
Holy.
Everything. All that is within me blesses God. Holy.
W-H-O-L-I.
That's right. Holy. I believe if you really want to be H-O-L-Y, you got to be W-H-O-L-L-Y submitted. Good title. Great title. Thank you. That's great. But let's read the second verse. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Does He have benefits? You got, well, there's bennies, I'll tell you. We've got the benefits. We've got benefits. We've got wages unto life eternal, and we've got benefits. All the benefits of God. Everything that's for our good, for our welfare. And I'm going to read verse 3 today, but we're not going to go on beyond that. But it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. So now I'm teaching about prayer and remembering and hallowing God's name. Communion with God. But, you know, why do we confess the Word? This we'll get on Wednesday night. But why is it, why do we confess the Word? God's old and He might forget, so we have to keep telling Him what He said, right? That's right. We confess the Word for our benefit, right? The Word's one of our benefits. We confess it. And when we confess it out loud, and this is one of the things we've been learning, is that it just doesn't do the same to just hear somebody else say it. You need to say it, and you need to say it in a way that it's first person. When Bo talks to the Lord and he talks about His Word, Bo's not feeling good, he needs to say something like this. He needs to say, God sent His Word and healed me. That's what the Bible says. He sent His Word and healed us and delivered us from all of our destructions. Make it first person. Make it your promise. Lay hold on it. We're supposed to take ownership of the Word of God. Did you know that? That's right. Joint heirs is what's called. Not ownership that I own it and God doesn't. But I'm a joint heir. I'm a joint heir. And I'm taking what He said. And I'm not going to forget. Say, I won't forget His benefits. And to not forget His benefits, you cannot forget His name. Because if you forget His name, you'll forget His benefits. And in God, in His Word, He has revealed Himself through redemptive compound names. Everybody knows about that, right? Here's one of them right here. You all memorize this. What is that? Yeah. Yahweh Tsidkenu. Tsidkenu. Yahweh is our righteousness. And we went through this. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He took our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. That's 1 Peter 2:24, the first part of the verse. He became sin who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Remember, in Him always indicates covenant, relationship. The in Him. The position. We're in Him. And so there we have that. And we looked at Yahweh Makadosh. Makadosh. You know, I'm never quite sure about the pronunciation. Somebody probably says it different. I've been saying Vitzivanu wrong all the time I've been doing it. When I've been, you know, saying the blessings, I say Vitzivanu. Or say Vitzivanu. And it's Vitzivanu. Yahweh Makadosh. The Lord who sanctifies, sets us apart. He says, I'm holy, you be holy. And He gave us a means by which to become holy. Yeshua said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. He sanctifies and cleanses us through the washing of water by the word. We're sanctified. All of these things are by His blood. By the blood we're righteous. By the blood He sanctifies us in His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. And then Yahweh Shema. The Lord is there. And that's what we were talking about this morning, really, talking about Adam. Adam just knew the Lord is there all the time. Well, later on, because there was separation, God said in the temple, it will be said, the Lord is there. Where's the temple? Where's the temple of... Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You were bought with a price. He's there. How are we made nigh to Him? The Bible tells us, through the blood of the Messiah. We're made nigh. So there it is again, a redemptive name. Last week, we looked at Yahweh Shalom. Shalom, Shalom. Perfect peace. And we found that, didn't we? That if we keep our minds stayed on Him, He said, I will keep you shalom, shalom. Shalom means perfect and peace. Perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. And the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, keeps our hearts and our minds. So we've got a means by which to do it again. And how did we get peace? He made peace through the blood of His cross, according to Scripture. All of these things are bought through the covenant. Today, we're going to look one further to Yahweh. You will hear this pronounced Rapha. If you're going to say our healer, you'd say Raphahenu. But it's really here, your healer is Raphaka. Raphaka. The Lord your healer. Is the Lord your healer?
Yes.
How do you know He's your healer? Because He healed you. Well, that's a good way to know it, isn't it? What? Because He said it. Before anything else happened, He said it. He said it. He sent the Word. The Word, Yeshua. The Word. The Word, the Devar. He sent His Word to heal us. His Word, just think, one Word from God can change your circumstances eternally. Isn't that amazing? The Word does it. If we knew the power of the Word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of my soul and my spirit. I don't even know how to do that. Do you know how to divide between your soul and your spirit? I don't know whether one ends and the other begins. I can't do it. But God's Word does. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. How many of you have ever been reading the Word and all of a sudden say, oh, I see it. That's where I've been and this is where I'm going. Right. Wow. The Word's powerful. It can change us. And so today we're going to look at Yahweh Raphaka. We're going to look at another redemptive thing. The redemption from sickness, from disease, from injury, from deformity. Did you know that? Anything that can make you broken, Yahweh has sent His Word to heal you. Amen? In Exodus 15:26, we always like to look where this name came from in Scripture. In the New American Standard Bibles, the way I'm going to read it, you'll see it in King James on the board, I think. It said, and He said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of Yahweh your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I'll put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians. Did He put His diseases on the Egyptians? Yeah. Do you remember the 10 plagues? You remember watching those things go by? Yeah. He said, none of those things are going to come on you. Why? Because of my Word. Isn't that right? Give earnest heed to the voice of Yahweh your God. How do you hear His voice? Through His Word. Through His Word. By His Spirit. Do what's right. That means obey. Give ear to my mitzvot, my commandments. Keep all my statutes. None of the diseases. He says, I'll put on you because I, the Lord, am your healer. Wow. What a promise. What a promise. Everybody ought to have this one right there alongside John 3:16. Just memorize. Somebody says, what's Exodus 15:26 say? You ought to know at least this part. I am Yahweh, your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. He's our healer. He's our healer. And yet here again, you see, this is a part of curse that this needed to come. Where did sickness and disease come from? You suppose Adam, before the fall, ever knew what a cold was?
No.
Suppose he knew what it was to be sore in his muscles and achy? No.
Sin.
No. Sin did it. Sin caused everything to begin to deteriorate. It took a while. How do you know? Well, Adam lived to be 930 years old. It took him a while to get it all in there and let that take over. But he still died because of that fall. And immediately in the spirit he died, didn't he? But it took his body 930 years to die. That shows you how much life God put in people. Amen? Was intended to live forever. Praise God. No, you see, there was a curse that came, but Good news, Yeshua took the curse. Jesus took the curse. He became a curse for us, the Bible says. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Yeshua became a curse for us. That the blessing of Abraham, did Abraham know anything about healing? You ever read any stories about Abraham getting any healings? Did Abraham ever wake up? How about one morning when he woke up and said, and God said, "You're going to have a child." And he said, "A child? Me? Lord, 99 years?" Did you know that's a total miraculous healing? That's what the Bible said. His body received strength. His body he knew about God who heals. That's part of the blessing of Abraham. Somebody said, "Yeah, but this was just for a special cause, Pastor. He had to have Isaac." Well, wait a second. See, I seem to remember that after he had Isaac, he had sons and daughters through Keturah. So the healing must have lasted. You think? And he died at what age? 175 years. Full of days. That's why Bob and I aren't out of line. We just read in the Scripture that the days of a man shall be 120 years. So that's why we're just middle age. You guys are just kids. You don't have to take that if you don't want to. Don't worry anything about it. God won't make you live to be 120 if you don't want to. God won't make you take healing if you don't believe it. People say, "I don't believe that." Well, don't worry about it. It won't come on you. It comes by faith. By faith. That's the way we're justified. That's the way we're made righteous. That's the way we receive the promises. Isaiah 53:4 says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs," in the King James. That word is koli. Holy, actually. Holy, which means disease or sickness. The holy. "And He carried our sorrows." That word is machov. Affliction, pain, and grief. "Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God." Looked like He was just beat up by God. And afflicted. But verse 5 says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions." What happened when He was wounded? When He was wounded, blood flowed out, didn't it? Blood flowed out. Remember, 7 times the blood of Jesus flowed out with a crown on His head, with a whipping. Even the walk to Calvary broke His feet. Not His bones, but the skin. Put nails in His hands, His feet. Put a spear in His side. He sweat great drops of blood at Gethsemane. It was blood. "He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace." What did we say that means last week? The chastisement of our peace. The discipline or the beating, the chastisement that makes us whole. That makes us whole. So that's the way we could read that. The chastisement that makes us whole was upon Him. And with His stripes, say stripes, He was healed. It's one thing that I guess you'd have to say that the movie by Mel Gibson, The Passion of Christ, showed was that He took stripes, didn't it? It really showed the physical beating. It took a physical beating. And the blood flowed from every stripe. Blood of covenant blood. The blood from the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world was also the blood by which everything we needed was bought. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." You were healed. So already today we've had word, the word of God about healing. The word. Say this with me now. He sent his word, and healed me, and delivered me from all my destructions. That's Psalm 107:20. That's the word. He sent his word and healed me. When I read that, I in Isaiah 53:4, surely he's borne my grief. He's borne my diseases. He's borne my sickness. He's carried my sorrows. He's carried my afflictions and my pains. By his stripes, I was healed. I always say that. I was healed. I repeat that every day, I think. You say, are you sick every day? No. I'm not. Everybody here, preventative maintenance? Did you ever hear of that? Any of you check the air in your tires before they go flat? Yeah. It's kind of nice to do that, isn't it? It's kind of tough to be on the road and say, oh my goodness, 14 pounds is all I got in that tire? No, that's preventative maintenance. By his stripes, I was healed. I'm the healed of God. I say things like that. His healing power is always at work on the inside of me. He's making me strong. My immune system is awesome. Amen? Talk like that. You say, well, that sounds like bragging. No. It's because of what his word did. I'm not saying it for your benefit. I'm just telling you how I talk. I say, my feet are strong and every bone in my feet is supple and all of my joints are well lubricated and my muscles are strong and toned, especially these. Amen. I talk to them. Now, do I see everything I say? Not yet. But that's the way to see it. The way to see it is to let the Word do its work in you. And don't be like the lady that said, well, you know, I know this is in the Word of God, but we live in the real world.
Without a vision, people perish.
That's right. Without a vision, the people perish. That's why people are dying every day. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Isn't that right? You say, well, I read the Bible through. I know it all. Mm-hmm. I've read it through, I don't know. I'd hate to even guess how many times, and I'm not going to say a number because I'd be wrong one way or another. But let's just put it this way. Numerous times. You know what I feel sometimes? Lord, I'm just scratching the surface on this. Oh, both the depth and the height. Who can plumb the depths of this word? This is God's word. It's alive. So I'm showing you now this is about prayer. And what I want you to get is how vital the word of God is to effective prayer. If you don't know the word, doesn't mean you have to memorize the word. Doesn't mean you have to have a memory. But I'm talking about knowing what the word says. And be careful now, because we've heard a lot of people say what the word says that it doesn't say. How many of you have ever heard this? Well, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. Did you ever hear that one? It may be, but it's not in the word. There's a lot of things people say from the Word of God that you can't quote. And so be cautious what you say. Remember the warning of Scripture? It's both in Deuteronomy and it's also in Revelation. To him that adds anything to my Word, I'll add the curses in this book. To anyone that takes away, I'll take his part from the book of life. In the world to come. I don't want to get caught in that, do you? Watch what you say the Bible says unless you can find it. Amen? But now, having said that, don't go home and say, I'm not going to say anything. Start finding it. All the promises of God are yes. All the promises of God are amen to the glory of God by us. What's God saying? You need to say it. You need to say what my word says. Get back in it. Begin to do it. It's through faith in his word that we're redeemed. In fact, I believe that the Word and speaking God's Word is vital in healing. Listen to how many people Jesus spoke these words to. Matthew 9:29, there were two blind men came to Him, and in 9:29, Jesus touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith. According to your faith. Well, now you say, well, where does it say anything about the Word? Where does faith come from? Come on, guys, where does faith come from? Hearing and 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 hearing the Word of God. And that's not enough. You got to keep going. Faith comes by hearing. But they put, and Jesus would say this, He said this to these two blind men, according to your faith, be it unto you. In the 22nd verse, the woman with the issue of blood had just come to Him. Jesus turned about and saw her, and He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, now, where did this woman come from? She didn't come from Chicago. She came from Israel when Jesus was there. And she heard about Him. What'd she hear? She heard the Word. The Word, she began to say, this must be He. This must be the One who is to come. And if I could but touch His clothes. Why would she say that? She must have known something about the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. S-U-N of righteousness. Healing in His kanaf. His wings. What's His wings? It's tzitzit. She touched Him and was healed. He said, your faith has made you whole. There was a Syrophoenician lady came to Him one day, had a sick daughter, demon possessed. You remember the story about it where she kept following after Him and crying after Him, Lord, I just need, Lord, I, you know, she just wouldn't give up. And the disciples said, send her away. She's noisy and she's got a screechy voice. We don't want to hear from her. Send her away. Jesus turned around and said, wouldn't be right to take the bread from the children and give it to dogs. I wonder what most of you would have done if you'd have been in that place. I wonder how many of you would have stuck by your guns in that place. I wonder how many of you would have said, Jesus hurt my feelings. I'm never going to follow Him anymore. That's the way people are nowadays. Somebody says any word of discipline, and Jesus wasn't even disciplining her, but He said, they called her a dog. Why was He calling her a dog? Because she wasn't a Jew. The Jews felt like that was dogs. In fact, maybe a little lower. Syrophoenician. She said, but Lord, the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Listen to what Jesus said. Man, I'll tell you what. I'd love to have Jesus say this about me. This is what I want to hear when I go to heaven, that He could say this about me. He said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Bartimaeus is another one. Mark 10, verse 52. Go thy way, He says to Bartimaeus. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. And then there were 10 lepers that came up to Him one day. And what did Jesus say to them? These 10 lepers said, Lord, You can cleanse us. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, I want to tell you something. That wasn't the way it was normally done. But they believed enough to go. One of them got a ways off and all of a sudden began to think, you know what? If I'm cleansed, I better go give thanks. And he went back and he began to worship the Lord and thank Him. Yeshua said there were another 9, weren't there? But listen to what He told him. This is Luke 17:19. He said, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So what is it that does it? It has to do with trust. Is that the first thing you do when sickness comes upon you? See, that's the key. That's the key. First thing you think of, by His stripes I was healed, or is it Excedrin? Or amphetamines? Oh no, that's something else. People think. You know, people are treating everything with a pill nowadays. Do you know that? And they have tremendous faith in pills. It's a terrible thing how much faith people have in a pill. Terrible. And yet, you know, without pills, a lot of people would be dead, probably. The symptoms would have taken over. But a pill can't heal you, can it? Is there any healing pills around? No, I mean, a pill can make a headache, make the muscles relax so the headache isn't felt so much, right? But really, it can't take it away. It takes God to take it away. It takes God to take it away. So we need to trust. We need to trust. And if you don't get anything out of this but this, if you could get this, that God has done all of this and given us His Word that we might know that it's His will. How many of you know His Word's given to us so that we might know His will? Say, I want to know Your will, O Lord. Say it all together. I want to know Your will, O Lord. Now, second, I want to do Your will, O Lord. I want to do Your will, O Lord. Wow. What is His will? His will is His Word. That's why He's given us His Word, is so that we'll know His will. Listen to His Word, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing a few that were oppressed with the devil. What?
All?
You mean it's all inclusive? Who did He heal? How many did He heal? We suppose that was His will?
Yeah.
Must have been His will. God wouldn't have been going about doing things that weren't His will, would He? He was doing His will, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, if I'd have been there, I could have gotten healed. Because then Jesus could have touched me. Did you know there's a lot of people that have that? The attitude of the world, the religious attitude is, those things were wonderful at one time, but they've all passed away, and now we've got doctors, we don't need healing anymore.
They practice,
and sometimes they don't get it right the first time, and the second time. And you know what I found too? They all charge. Did you ever run into that? I'm thankful for doctors. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for the doctor that took that splinter out of your hand. How's it doing?
Yeah.
Praise God. But you know what? God's healing it, isn't He? And He knows that. He knew that. You just had to get that splinter out of there.
Wow.
That was a big, ugly thing, man. I mean to tell you, I'm thankful for doctors. Don't get me wrong. But boy, am I ever thankful that they're not my only hope. And they're not my source of healing. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's the great healer. He's the great anointer. You see, it's by the anointing. That's what the Scripture says. The anointing. God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Say, but Pastor, don't you know He was God? Yeah, I do. He was God, but He had come to earth without any of His power as God. He came to earth in a body just like you and I, and God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and with that anointing He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says in 1 John 2, we have the same anointing. The same anointing is still with us today. Wow. If you're hearing this, if you're believing this, if you're letting this work on the inside of you, faith comes. Faith comes. You need to say it out loud to yourself. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, but He's anointed me too with the same anointing. Same anointing.
It says, for God was with Him.
God was with Him. And God's with us. He said He'd never leave us, didn't He? That's right. You know, there was a fellow that came up to Yeshua one time, and Jesus said to him, He said, what do you want? There's a leper. And this fellow, it's in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. He said, Lord, if you will, if you're willing, you could make me clean. If you're willing, you could make me clean. What did Yeshua say? Say it out loud, Bob. I'm willing. He said, I will. I will. Look at the next verse. He said, I will. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. In Luke 6:19, what do we read? People came and wanted to touch him. They wanted to touch him. They knew there was virtue. They knew there was power. What was that power? That same power that we just read about in Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. They knew that it was there. And what does it say? He healed a few of them. All of them. Now there was one time when Jesus didn't heal everyone. Anybody tell me where that was? His own hometown. And the Bible says he got mad at those people and refused to heal them, right? Careful, Pastor, you're adding something to the Word. What does the Bible say? He said he healed a few sick folk and he marveled at their unbelief. Their lack of faith. Who are we talking about today? Yahweh Rapha, the healer. He's a healer. And I want you to know this is not just a sidelight. See, this is what some people do. They take the message of the gospel and they say, well, the gospel's primarily just getting us saved. Listen, don't say something the Bible doesn't say. The Bible says Yeshua came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The Bible says that in this life, we are to walk in abundance, fullness, wholeness, completeness, healing. In Matthew 12:15, it says, when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. The 14th chapter and the 14th verse of Matthew, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Then he made this statement in John 6, verse 37. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now I realize this has more than one application, but they shall come to me. Say, come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me. Come to me. What will he do? He says, I won't in any wise cast them out. I won't turn them away. I won't refuse them. I am the Lord who heals them. Wow. Matthew 8:16, when the evening was come, this is in Peter's house, they brought unto him all that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. How many that were sick?
All.
I wonder if that was his will. You suppose maybe it just overflowed onto some of them he didn't really mean to get to? No. He has compassion for sickness. He wants his people well. He wants us whole. You know, if you can get this down on the inside, it'll take away all that nonsense that religion teaches us. I heard a guy say one time, well, the Lord gave me a bad back, so I had to give up sports. Because sports were almost an idol to me, so the Lord gave me a bad back. Well, it would be a little bit funny, but it's sad. You've known people like that. The Lord broke my leg to teach me something. I think that's child abuse. You don't break your children's legs to teach them, do you? God doesn't break his children's leg to teach them. Now, he might swack me on the place where you're supposed to be slapped, but... We all get some chastening, don't get me wrong. But it doesn't say he'll make you sick. Listen what verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. Oh, he took our infirmities. He took our... What is an infirmity?
Sickness.
Yeah, well, it's a sickness, but you know what it is? It's really anything that's weak. Infirm means just weak. Not functioning properly. Not functioning properly. I talked about blood vessels. Blood vessels, you be wide open and just like you're supposed to be. Supple. You talk to things like, I talk to my organs. Pituitary gland, I want you to line up with the Word of God. Say, is there something wrong with your pituitary? No, it's again preventative maintenance. Talk to my heart. My heart's powerful and strong. And all of my nerves do what they're supposed to be. My ears hear well. My eyes see well. What am I doing? Well, any of you know me, you know I wear some contact lenses, but I'm still talking to my eyes to see well. 2020. I'm believing for it. The healing power of God's at work in my body. Right now. It's working. Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. Do it.
I was born with scoliosis, a curved spine, and the prescription was I had to put a lift in my shoe, and all through my teenage years. And when I met my wife, we got married, we went through some learning about healing, and my wife... prayed and spoke to my spine to straighten. And since then, I've had seven, doctor's appointments, physicals, seven different doctors. And every time I ask them to look at my spine, and they see your spine is perfect. It's perfectly straight. And that was because of her faith activated with the Word and me just believing that He is a healing God. And so right. My spine is totally straight.
Praise God.
And last doctor's appointment I had was actually at the beginning of last winter, a physical, and I said, check my spine. And I just love to hear them say, your spine is perfect.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, probably that didn't happen the moment she put her hand on it. But it happened.
My leg did pop out.
Did it? Well, sometimes it's instantaneous. Yeah.
And we saw it grow out.
Praise God. Sometimes things are instantaneous, but more often than not, those things will happen as we believe, as we go. As they went, they were cleansed. Don't forget to go back and say thank you. Amen? Praise God. It's one of the things that, you know, Bob could testify to the healing of cancer. I can testify to the healing of cancer. But one of the things I remember is, boy, every time I see that big scar on my leg, I say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. You're my healer. You know, Jacob had a hollow place in his thigh, the Bible says. I got a big hollow place in my thigh, too, but it's way down here. I hope they don't quit eating that part. Not on me, but on animals. You all know the story that they quit eating that part of the animal, where the sciatic nerve is on the animal because of Jacob. Philippians 2:9 says all everything that happens is by the power of His name. Oh, we've talked about the blood. We've talked about the Word. We've talked about faith. It all has to do with the name of Yeshua. Everything we're looking at is about His name. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Every name. Yeshua has a name above every name. Now, let me just ask you something. Is pain a name? It's a name, isn't it? It's a noun. It's a name. Is cancer a name? Tuberculosis a name? Arthritis a name? Every infirmity has a name, doesn't it? The Bible says He took all my weaknesses. He took everything. How? By His name. Everything that's named on this earth has to bow the knee to that name that's above every name. The name Yeshua. The name. Verse 10 says that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow. Of things in heaven? That means you say Yeshua, angelic beings bow. Isn't that right? Things in heaven. How about things on earth? What are things on earth? What things down here bow? Well, I'm a thing. I bow. My knee to Him. How about you? But there's other things, aren't there? They're bad things that are going to have to bow the knee. In fact, the Scripture says things under the earth. What's that talking about? Is that talking about lava and volcanic eruptions? What's it talking? It's talking about demonic beings, isn't it? It's talking about the devil himself is going to bow his knee to the name of Yeshua. The Bible says, going to bow their knee, and verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Yahweh to the glory of God the Father, Lord of lords, King of kings, God forever. Romans 8:11 says, but if the same Spirit, say same Spirit.
Same Spirit.
But if the same Spirit, the same Spirit, do you have the same Spirit Yeshua had? Are you anointed with the same Spirit? But if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, does His Spirit dwell in you? Anybody here that needs to get born again this morning so that Spirit can come into them? That's the only reason that Spirit wouldn't be in you is if you're not born again. If you're born again, then the Spirit of God's in us. And if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then that same Spirit shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Say quicken.
Quicken.
What's quicken mean?
Make alive.
Make alive.
Make alive.
Make alive. Make alive. He quickeneth the dead. He makes them alive. He quickens your mortal bodies. He's making life in me. Right now, while we're talking, God's got a process going in me. It's making life in me. Making life. Making life. He quickened your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. So keep this in context now. We're talking about Yahweh Rapha. And in the context of our communion with God, how might you live out and practice what we've learned here this morning? How might you do something that could change your life for the better? Just putting into practice what we've talked about this morning. Now, I understand that everybody doesn't have all of these verses down in their conscience, right? But you know, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance the things Jesus said. That's one of the things that happens. And so as I pray these prayers, I say, Father in heaven, holy is your name. You're a holy God. You're the God who is forever. You're God who loves me and never leaves me. And there's no God like my God. And I want you to know that I don't pray the same prayer every day, but as I begin to walk around and talk to Him about this, and you know, some of you may get on your knees and talk to Him, but I just, you know, as I go, when I talk to the Lord, I'm going and talking and walking and talking, and sometimes I get tired and sit a little bit, but I'm just talking to the Lord, and I'll begin to confess His Word. And I'll thank Him. I'll just go through these one at a time. Lord, I thank You that You're Yahweh Rapha. By Your blood You made me righteous. And I'll go through a whole gamut of scriptures that are in my heart about that. And then I'll say, and I thank You so much that You're my sanctifier and You told me to be holy, and I will today, Father, I set myself in agreement with Your Word. I'm going to be holy, for You are holy. I'm sanctified through Your truth. Your Word is truth. I'm sanctified holy and preserved blameless, spirit, soul, and body. And I thank You that You're always with me and that You never leave me. The Bible says I'm made nigh to You through the blood of Christ. And I just walk with You right now, Lord. And I make myself aware of You. I choose to put my every remembrance on You. Whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, Lord, I think on You. Think on these things, and they're all about You. I think about You, Lord. You're with me. You're in me. You made peace through the blood of Your cross. You're Yahweh Shalom. You're my God who is peace. You've made me whole. You've redeemed me from brokenness. I'm whole in every way, nothing missing, nothing broken in my life. I thank You for that. And then I move on over and just keep moving through those. And finally I come to the one we've talked about today, Yahweh Rapha. You're my healer. Oh, I thank You today, Father, that You're my healer. I thank You that You're the healer of everyone that's in this house today. You took our infirmities and You bore our sicknesses. Every weak part of my body, I command right now to wake up and listen to the Word of God. Every weakness, any part of me that's trying to break down, I speak to it in the name of Yeshua. You're healed. He took you. He took infirmities. He bore sicknesses. He took my pains. He took my sicknesses and my sorrows. He took them. I don't have to have them. He took them. By His stripes I was healed. Hallelujah. I'm the healed of God. That healing power is at work in me. He sent His Word to heal me. I trust in Him for healing. It's His will. I know according to the Word that it's Your will to heal them all. And Lord, if there's any area in my life that needs healing, I yield it to You right now. Heal. Make whole and well. For every person in this congregation today, Lord, it's Your will to heal. Lord, let their ears hear. Let their hearts respond. Let them know that there's no sickness, no disease that belongs in the body of Christ. We demand on the authority of the name that's above every name, the name Yeshua. Be gone. Be cleansed. Be whole. Be healthy. Be strong. We thank You, Father, You're a healer. Today, Lord, we just remember the name that's above every name. And we know that every knee will bow to it. Sickness and disease have to bow to that lovely name, in the name Yeshua. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. Thank You for healing us. Thank You for making us whole. We will not forget Your benefits now. We remember them in the name of Yeshua. And everyone said, amen. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Put your hands up in the air. Receive the blessing from the Most High. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. Amen.